Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to my beautiful planet Earth. I want to welcome you to It's All About You, the radio program that is celebrating life, prosperity, and unlimited potential. And I'm your host, I'm Darian Marshall, and as always, I'm so excited to be with you because it's Monday and I get a chance to introduce to you another fabulous guest. And my guest today is Sherry Brown, and she is the author of this beautiful book called The Seven Commandments for Happiness and Prosperity. Now, as you know, these days, we have nothing but the most of talk dealing with prosperity, dealing with health, dealing with creating the life of your dreams. And my guest today is going to help us with that. And she's helping the whole world with that by producing this beautiful book. So I'm going to get right into the show. We're going to start talking. And the show is just for 30 minutes. And why don't we just introduce Sherry Brown and get on with our little party. Welcome to the show, Sherry. How are you?
Thank you, Darian. Thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, thank you. You're a busy, busy lady.
So are you.
Yeah. Now, do you have a website, Sherry? Because I wanted to mention that to the listeners.
Yes. It's www.7commandments.com.
Mm-hmm. So that's www.7commandments.com. Okay, great. Now, how can people learn to be fulfilled and prosper?
Well, I have the commandments consolidated to seven. Ten commandments of Moses, two commandments of Jesus, which is basically summarizing the Ten Commandments of Moses, nothing more, and the commandments of Muhammad. And I came up with seven commandments that are easy to follow without losing anything, because I just disposed of some of the redundancy of all the three commandments. And I do believe that if you do this, to follow and implement the seven commandments that I have in this book, a little bit after 2 months, I would say, and that is probably subject of another book to tell you why over 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
But if you follow that, you're going to have a serene soul, which brings you happiness. Happiness inside you, if you're happy in your heart, it would reflect to other people. You give the nice vibration and energy. You will be successful in your interviews. You'll be more innovative. You'll be more resourceful.
Mm-hmm.
And not only you have the happiness, you illuminate that. You transfer it to people you come in contact with. So really, happiness begets happiness. But to get to that point, you have to be totally righteous. And the seven commandments, if you follow it like every other diet you do, just do it for over 2 months and see the results. And I would like people to write their opinion. Even if right now they're, for some reason or another, they can't follow it, just decide to follow this and let me know what happens. Because I do believe, I have experience, I have personal experience, and I have other people have experienced it and told me that.
I noticed in your book, you touch a little on Moses, then Jesus. And so are you touching on all major religions?
The three religions, they are the pyramid of God.
Mm-hmm.
God's on top, and the three cornerstones of the pyramid are these three prophets, because they had messages for us. There were 144,000 prophets, I believe, or 144,000. But the ones who have books and have given us message that is tangible are these three prophets? God says in Quran that I gave the law, I blessed Moses with the law, I blessed Jesus with my spirit and raised him in my bosom, and I give the book, I blessed Muhammad with the book. So since very few people who are Muslim would read the Bible, or people who are Christian or Jewish, they really hardly ever read the Quran. So this word Quran has been misunderstood, has been used for political purposes, and especially now, it's really angers you when you see that what kind of atrocity has been done in the name of every religion right after these prophets die.
Yeah, I was curious. Why did you choose seven commandments instead of ten? I just thought that was interesting.
Because ten of Moses plus two of Jesus plus seven of Muhammad comes to 19. If you take the redundancy of these, it comes up to seven. This seven is basically what these three prophets say.
I see.
The essence of all their religion. And Muhammad says in Quran, if you don't commit the big sins, I would forgive you the small sins.
Now, what is your definition of religion?
To be righteous, to follow the seven commandments. You don't have to pray. If you're Muslim, pray on Friday. If you're Jewish, pray on Saturday. If you're Christian, pray on Sunday. You have to be follower of Moses, follower of Christ. It's okay to do any way, pray any way you want, anything that makes you feel good about yourself. Because most important person's opinion in the world should be your opinion of you. So if you feel righteous to do all of the everything that Moses taught you, whether relevance or non-relevance, and implementing what Jesus said. And look at what Muhammad said. Nothing in Quran is about killing innocent people. If you really, really haven't read the Quran and not have time, just read the seven commandments, and you will get the message that Muhammad relates to us.
You mentioned, I was going over some of your information while preparing for the show. You encourage us to always be in prayer mode all the time. What does that mean? And
well,
how
you
can
know,
we do that?
Everybody thinks, first of all, if you read the Quran, Quran says, if you don't do Shabbat, do five-time prayers. At the end of Quran, it says, if you work all day and don't have time to do prayers, then do your prayers at night. I say in my book that you can pray all the time, everywhere. When you're driving, you can pray. You don't have, if you would like to go to mosque or synagogue or temple or church, it's fine. But if you don't feel guilty. Pray all the time. Pray anytime you have. Meditate and get connected to God. It doesn't have to be certain time, certain day. He wants to give us a message to put us in order so we would do it systematically. But if you read all of these books, you realize all he wants us to do is to recognize him and thank him for the life he's given us.
Yes, indeed. I didn't get a chance to ask you in the beginning, what moved you to write a book like this?
Because I was raised a Shia Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Catholic school when I came to America, and I married a Jewish man. And I do like all the traditions of all the religions, because they are something to be commemorated on. But the reason, the main reason was the revolution of 1979, really. And looking at how atrocity was being done how shamelessly they're using the name Islam.
Mm.
I just wanted to shed a light on it for people who haven't read Quran, say that jihad is the word that should be obsolete, has been for unbelievers. It's not, it has been a defensive act, not an offensive violence as they're using it for, and means nothing, because jihad was all the way through all the three Bibles. If you read everything, all the bloodshed is because of polytheism and people who worship idols, none of which has anything to do with people who believed in one God. And in Quran, Muhammad says, if someone who doesn't believe in one God comes and attacks you because you believe in one God, in the midst of defending yourself, you die, you will be a martyr. Therefore, I'm saying that in 9/11, according to Quran, everybody almost in that twin towers were believing in one God. Therefore, they're the martyr. They're the ones who go to paradise. Or everyone that's been beheaded, if they believed in one God, according to Quran, they're the ones who are going to paradise, not the ones that are killing. The killers are only psychopaths. We call them serial killers here in America.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing is about this murderers that kill people the way they do, is the fact that I wonder, do they know during Muhammad America didn't exist? Why do they hate us so much? What is this death to America? Muhammad surely didn't know that America didn't exist during when even Quran was written 100 years after Muhammad died. What is this hatred for us? It's not, who are they following? Definitely they're not following Muhammad and Quran. So for them to use this phrase of Islam, I think it's shameless, and they should be crucified for that alone.
If you're just tuning in, I'm having a wonderful conversation with Sherry Brown, and she's the author of the book, The Seven Commandments for Happiness and Prosperity. Now, although it's been over 40,000 years since the first representation of invisible gods was found, are we any closer to figuring out the origin and purpose of our universe?
We're not closer than the people that have been living for thousands of years after Muhammad. The religion was hijacked after Moses. After Jesus, they hijacked the religion for the purpose of politics. Unless we come to realization that life is about not all about accumulating wealth and power, and it's all about being nice to your neighbor and following the seven commandments, we'll be probably closer. But what we have done, unfortunately, politically, without knowing the culture of different religions, different cultures, different countries, we as Americans get ourselves involved in other countries without knowing their habits and their actions. If we don't get involved, and if we live our own righteous life, maybe for each one of us individually, there is more hope. I don't know as a nation, but as individuals, yes, definitely.
Oh, yeah, okay. Now, as we continue to progress, in your opinion, why and how is this an illusion, especially in regards to the rising violence and human suffering we're experiencing? I don't know if I made any sense.
No, repeat the question. Why, what?
As, in your opinion, I was asking, why and how is this an illusion, especially in regards to the rising violence and human suffering we're experiencing?
Illusion because human beings have so much greed and avarice. because there's no end into wanting more, no matter how much you have. There's never ending about, they never sit down and think about somebody that is needy. This giving the poor alms, you know, in Quran says that if you do your prayers and give your poor alms, you never have to worry about life. You have nothing to fear. You never grieve. But then greedy people want everything. They want to subjugate countries. The leaders want to subjugate other countries. The people want to amass more money. We're becoming more heartless, unfortunately. The more our technology has advanced, we ourselves have become more dehumanized, have lost that feeling. I have seen much more people seeking for revenge and act of greed and avarice than people going meditating, trying to get in touch with God.
Mm-hmm.
5,000 years ago, King Cyrus wrote the first Bill of Rights. And as Iranians, Muslims used to say that they were worshippers of fire, whereas afterwards, when I read the Bill of Rights, which was written in a clay tablet and is in British Museum, it says that you realize that by staring at fire, they would connect to the higher power. So that was their way of meditation.
Mm.
It would be best if we get back to where we can sit down and instead of having all of these distractions with everything, telephone ringing, television says that the news is that, the election. Sit down, give yourself 1 hour a day to meditate and just be with you and with your God. Stay in the narrow path, as Eckhart Tolle said, so you can connect to God instead
yes.
of being so distracted.
Mm-hmm. How is idolatry used today? Are we still using it today as it was way back?
Well, unfortunately, in my opinion, idolatry is... You mean worshipping idols? Money,
mm-hmm.
money, worshipping, desiring something from the bottom of your heart, like wanting more than you have or you need. That is as bad.
Mm-hmm.
You should be content with whatever God gives you. Contentment is in the Bible. Christ said that contentment. If you are content, then you can worship God, you can thank Him, and the more you thank Him, the more He gives you. The more you're discontent with what you have, you're always, if you have $50,000, you're not happy with it. If you have $50 million, somebody else has $50
billion. Right.
So you have to be content. Contentment is the key.
That's interesting. So, and when you're content, you end up getting more anyway.
Because of the energy of life, you know?
Yes. Yeah, why does that happen? I've noticed that even with people who seem to go through life easily and effortlessly, and they seem to just get more, and they don't even ask for more.
Because they don't struggle. You know, struggling for anything is work of evil.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to struggle. If you let your energy of life flow with the energy of God and righteousness. Not let somebody else's comments bother you. Not let somebody else that steals from you bother you that much, because that's their problem, not yours.
Mm-hmm.
Not be avarice. Not be angry all the time at other people. Not get stuck in the vision of yourself as a victim. It's much easier to... Because misery has its cozy way. It's easier for people to be miserable and say, blame everyone, blame God, blame their luck, blame their parents, blame this. It's much harder to work for happiness.
Mm-hmm.
Happiness takes an effort.
I see. I'm really enjoying this. You know, your book is The Seven Commandments for Happiness and Prosperity.
Yes.
Everybody wants to be rich. Are we a lot richer than we really know we are?
If we divide all the wealth and health of the whole world to the number of people, I think you find that most of us, especially people in America, have more than their share. But yet they're complaining, and they're always want more. They always are looking for something that they cannot reach. Instead of sit back and say, thank you, God, for what you have given me, that's been my fate, and I would have faith in you that you will grant this prayer or that prayer or what I want. But don't get upset if it doesn't happen. Instead, you have to have such a good attitude that think that everything wrong that happens is for a reason, and that reason is going to be better for you. If you have that attitude, definitely it happens to you. If you have any kind of negativity, that shows the existence of evil in your life. And evil, you can't deal with him by believing that he doesn't exist. You have to know he does exist and he is powerful. But God is more powerful. You have to have that kind of faith.
You know, you're right because, excuse me, I know a couple of years ago I changed my attitude toward money and abundance and things like that and started being more appreciative of what I already had. And then I noticed that I end up having more money
more
in
money.
The bank.
Yes, exactly.
Because I don't know, I was treating the money I had differently.
Yes, and also I do really believe that there's a blessing. Sometimes you have a whole bunch of money one day and the next day it's all gone.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you notice that some money has blessings for you. The more appreciative you are of God, the more he blesses you with everything. You read about Christ and how he divided four loaves of bread and nine fish to 2,000, 5,000 people one time, 4,000 people.
Yes.
This is all because he blessed it. So what you want somebody like God with his power to back you up. And you want to stay from evil. Somebody that you see there don't have good intentions, they're jealous, they're angry all the time, they're angry with life. Stay away from them. It's catching. You don't want to catch their disease.
Yes, stay away from that.
Yes.
What advice do you have for, say, people who are out of work as far as trying to...
I think that if they follow the seven commandments and feel happy with themselves in the job interviews, that would reflect on their energy and their attitude.
Mm-hmm.
They get jobs easier. People offer their help easier because they're appreciative, they're humble. That's the most important thing. They're humble, they're content, they're in a good mood because every day they should thank God for being able to breathe instead of sit down and complain about the fact that that person has more than me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe that person deserves more than you. How do you know?
That's true. We don't know the whole story,
no.
Do we?
But we'd be happy that reflects. We get jobs easier. And as you said, somehow it provides for us. It gets provided for us from where we don't even know how.
There are... wow, the time is flying. There are people who are atheists. How can they apply the information you provided for us in your book?
Well, atheism is something that people are righteous. They can be righteous.
Mm-hmm.
They're righteous people that call themselves atheists. I wouldn't really show off about them. Most of them, they show off. You know, if they live their righteous life... That's fine, but they can't say I'm atheist and then believe in evil and say everybody is evil. You can't believe in God and not evil. You can't have it both ways.
I see.
You either go that way or this way. and you decided to live a righteous life, that's fine. But don't keep bragging, I'm atheist. You just live a righteous life and go about your life.
Yeah, because that's the most important.
Just don't put down people who believe in God. That's what
right.
I don't like.
That's right.
Everybody should respect everybody else's faith.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. Well, congratulations on your book. And
Thank you. It was nice talking to you.
Yeah, I really had a great time. I love your voice.
Thank you.
You have a nice voice.
Thank you.
Well, congratulations. And I look forward to having you on here again in the future because
I know
I'll have more questions for you.
Thank you.
I just want to say I thank you for listening, all of you, and I look forward to being with you next week. You've been listening to It's All About You, the radio program that's celebrating life, prosperity, and unlimited potential. And my guest today was Sherry Brown. And Sherry, would you give me your website again?
It's my website. My website is Seven Commandments for Happiness and Prosperity book. That's my Facebook, actually.
Yes.
My website is sevencommandments.com.
Oh, sevencommandments.com. Great. And, that's great. So you've been listening to us all about you. And I look forward to being with you next week.
Thank you.
Be blessed. And thank you so much, Sherry.
Have a good day.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.